Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. I'm not reading the rest of this chapter tonight. We've been over it, and we'll go over it some more. But the point is, brother, we need to be committed to building the Lord's house. And when we are, He builds our house. That's true. That's a promise that He's made. I remember a message, Mr. Simpson. By the way, I'm appreciative for Mr. Simpson. I like the way that guy leads the singing. He gets up here, he gives a little push. You know, every place needs a pusher. Every place needs someone to say, you're starting to slow down a little. Come on, let's pick it up. And we need that. And I appreciate it. And I like the singing when it, personally, I like the singing when it sounds like we're actually serious about charging the gates of Hades. So, appreciate that. But I remember a message Mr. Simpson preached. Mi casa, su casa. My house, your house, right? God, when we're committed to building God's house, He builds ours. And we need the Lord building our house. Otherwise, this thing's going to crumble. It's going to crash. And so, I personally think marriage is the Scripture calls it a mystery. And that's true, but it is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for personal growth. The mission, the purpose behind marriage is for us to develop the right relationship with Christ. To understand the way we should be to Him and to understand the way that He is to us. And it is a great opportunity. I mentioned before, your personal weaknesses, they will get exposed in your own household more so than any other place. The opportunity to build your strengths, that where you can get an accurate gauge of how you're doing, that home is the clearest mirror, of course, if you're looking in this mirror. If you're not, you won't see it. But if you're looking in this mirror, that's the clearest opportunity to really examine yourself and see how you're doing. And it is a great opportunity to build teamwork, to understand relationships in many senses. No matter what the relationship is, it takes the same things for it to be successful, for it to be happy. And so, I think marriage is a great opportunity, and I want to encourage us as we go through this. Whether if we're married, hey, we really should listen up. If we're not married, we are still married to Christ, aren't we? There's still things for us to learn. And so, tonight, I'm going to be working, you guys can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to be working on the ladies. And if you've been here prior to this, you know we've been working on the guys. I think we've taken some pretty good shots at us guys from the Scripture. And so ladies, your turn. Right? To get a little bit of exhortation. A little bit of reproving from the Scriptures. A little bit of rebuke if the shoe fits that way. But I found something interesting. I think it could be interesting tonight because we had a lot of comments. You know, last week I never got the first click in till we were 15 or 20 minutes in, and it, you know, I'm serious, right? I don't mind that because I like the fact that people are thinking. But you know, Matthew made an interesting comment to me. I don't remember if it was last week or the week before. He says, "Dad, there's a lot of single guys that make a lot of comments." I said, "Yeah, that's true. It's probably on a lot of single guys' mind." And, well, sometimes you find out how much you don't know after you've been in this for a little while. So, but I want the comments. I'm curious tonight, now that we get to work on the women, how many guys are going to comment, how many are going to leave it for just me. We'll see how it goes. But Ephesians 5, I want to start here in verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. I think it's scriptural, and we've talked about this, to work on the men first, because, as Mr. Cooper mentioned in his prayer, Jesus is the bridegroom, isn't he? He's the husband. And he laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners, before we were ever obedient to him. And the scripture puts in the role of marriage, puts the husband in that spot. May we sacrifice. We love our wives as Christ loved us. That's the command. That's a scriptural command for us to do that. And so we talked about what that means. Leadership, by example, leadership through sacrifice. We talked about having consideration, thinking, considering things that are important to our wives and going out of our way to communicate that they are important to us. We talked about honoring them as fellow heirs of the grace of life. Different roles, both of us reflect the image of God. God created us in His image, male and female. Tonight I'm going to work on the responsibilities of the wife. And we started this a little bit last week. The overall theme here of Ephesians 5 is love. Is husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husband. There's a series out called Love and Respect. I think in overall it's a pretty good series. There's a few doctrinal things that people are off base on. But you know, my dad's been preaching love and respect from the time I can remember going to weddings. Because you know what? God's been preaching it for 2,000 plus years. I mean, it's clear in Ephesians 5. But that's really, this is the key. In terms of a wife's responsibility, that she respects her husband. I guess I will throw this out there. In that Love and Respect series, they do a good point of they bring forth, in our culture, it's really acceptable to tell men that they need to love their wives. It's really acceptable to say, you know, men, you need to work at this. You need to be a better husband. You need to try harder. You need to figure out how to communicate love to your wife. And you know what? Men, we need that. And no doubt about it, we need it. God commands it. But when it comes to the other half of this, in our culture, it's not nearly as acceptable to tell wives, you see to it that you respect your husband. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa! The women's liberation movement comes out and it's, you know, you're making us second-class citizens. Wait a second. God made men and women different. Women have a need to be loved, and loving isn't always a natural thing for men to do. Thankfully, as Christians, we're supernatural. Amen? So, wives, your husbands have a need to be respected. Showing that respect in a way that a man understands is not always a natural thing for you to do. But it's a command from God. Thankfully, we are supernatural. And we can't just preach one half of this. So, we talk about respecting your husband. Talk about encouraging him. Being submissive to him, that's words that the scripture uses. Express your appreciation of him. You know, the reality of it is, the wife is the emotional hub of the family. David, what did you say to me last week? I can't remember what. The man's the backbone. He told me his dad, or I think it was your dad. His dad taught him that the man is the backbone. And the woman is the heart. I think that's a pretty good analogy. I think it's scriptural. The wife is the emotional hub of the family. If mom ain't happy, nobody happy. My dad makes jokes about it, but us guys have been married and we've probably experienced this in one form or another. You come home, he says, you put your hand on the door handle, and you can feel the icicles. You know before you ever walk in the door, something is amiss. Okay? About that time, what'd you say, Mr. Love? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, as a boy growing up, I knew. I could feel it when mom was that way. It's like, I'm sneaking downstairs. And you know, it wasn't very long before mom realized somebody's hiding out on this deal. That door would come open down and say, Luke Bryant Wilson! I knew. Now, moms can get away with that. Wives, be respectful to your husbands. Okay? You don't get to yell at your husband and call him by his middle name and tell him to get up here. Okay? It doesn't work that way. All right? If mom ain't happy, nobody happy. And that's my point is this. We all know. We're all laughing. We experience this. The woman is the emotional hub of the family. They set the tone so much emotionally for whether or not this is a happy place. Or whether it's a place that everybody thinks they got to walk around whatever that saying is. On eggshells. Thank you. This one. Happy wife, happy life. Now, I hear this in the world sometimes. And people say this, basically telling guys, you do whatever it takes to keep your wife happy. But I want you to think about this. The responsibility here. This is, the scripture tells the wife to do her part. Wives, nobody can make you mad. Now, I understand us guys can be fairly good at hitting some buttons sometimes, and vice versa, but every one of us is in control of our own attitudes, aren't we? We get to choose whether or not we're going to be happy. And the example this guy uses that's pretty good. He says, you know, that you can be in the middle of a spat and the phone rings and you can answer the phone. You know, oh, hi, hey, how's it going? All happy. And then as soon as they're done with that, right back into it. Nobody. It's a choice is the point. It's a choice. Nobody can make you happy or unhappy. You get to make that choice. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. You know, I guess I've always been this way a little bit. I think, what's my part? I don't care if it's if I'm working for somebody, if I'm playing on a team, if I'm in the Lord's body. What's my part? What am I supposed to do? I'm going to do my part, and I want to do my part well. I want to make sure that I'm shouldering my part of the responsibility. Gals, Proverbs 14, verse 1, the wise woman builds her house. The foolish one tears it down with their own hands. We've mentioned before divorce rate's well over 50%. That is not one-sided. That's not all because men are just a bunch of doofuses. Okay? There's a bunch of foolish women out there too. Okay? Scripture means this, a wise woman builds her house. Okay? A foolish one chops her own legs right out from under. Destroying that place, the happiness that she wants, not knowing, not understanding the needs of her husband and not understanding the commands that God has given to her, can just chop that right out from under, and then she can't, then her own happiness does suffer as a result. You wise or foolish? That's the question here. Some husbands don't want to come home from work. Gotta be honest with you, some of them, I don't blame them. You know, sometimes guys come home from work and the very first thing they walk, well, before they get home, the phones are, why are you getting here? I can't handle this anymore. The kids are yours. They walk to, you know, that's not wise. Now, I understand. Hey, ladies, the advance just got over with. I had all the kids for a few days. Julie got back. I was so ready to hear something other than dad, 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 dad. You know, and I have four good kids. I am the emotional drain. I understand. And, you know, I'm thankful that God wired women to be a little more the heart. Because my backbone was working pretty good. Okay? But, you know, I understand it's tough, gals. I understand there's a lot on your plate. And I'm not diminishing that. But I'm saying, don't you want your house to be a happy environment and a place that your husband wants to come home to? You want him to, you want him to get off work and say, I can't wait to make it home and see the wife and family. Not to, I wonder which place I should go to for dinner tonight. You know, and then the temptations start setting in for guys too. Where do we go after that? Okay. Be a wise woman. Your husband should be your top priority after God. Ladies, there's a lot of you that make mistakes in this area. Your kids are your number one priority after God. That's not right. It's not right. Your husband is your number one priority after God. Now, I've gone out of my way to tell my kids, I love you very much, but I love Mom even more. Isn't that scriptural? The two become one. What's the best thing for your kids? Is it to have a united front? Is it to be a team? We'll get into raising kids. But we need to be on the same page. And if your husband's not your top priority after God, what are the chances that you're going to be on the same page and raising those kids? Let's be wise. Proverbs 27. Verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Better is open rebuke than love that's concealed. Now, I'm not working on the open rebuke part here. I'm saying love doesn't do any good if it's hidden, does it? If love isn't communicated, in this case, I'm going to work on that respect side a little bit tonight as we go along. But if that is not communicated, it doesn't do any good if you have it inside. Just like you need your husband to tell you that he loves you and to go out of his way to communicate that to you in ways that you understand, your husband needs the same thing from you. And the way a man hears that is when you respect him and when you communicate that you respect him, that you think he is a great guy, that you think he's the best guy in the world, that you appreciate. Well, I'll get into some of that. You got to express that. You know, I saw a Facebook post of Dwayne Guy. He put on there, it was a nice little picture and had some nice sayings, and then he said, I have a great wife, I love you, babe. And all sorts of good comments and like, that's nice, isn't it? Now, we're not all Facebook out in the open, we don't have to be. But, man, we need to tell our wives like that, and wives, what do you think your husband needs to hear? You think a little note in the lunchbox of how much you respect him and you appreciate the sacrifice he's making for your family, you think that goes a long ways to a guy? Now, we're not going to ask you for a note in our lunchbox. We're not that way. Hey, I would really appreciate it. You know, I need one of those today. Would you please sneak a little note? No. A matter of fact, if one of our coworkers sees us looking at this note in the lunchbox, we might even stuff it back in there. But it's important to us. We need to know that from our wives. Somebody, Kyle.
You guys say another great thing about chapter 27, verse 5, is that it allows that comfortability to actually be able to communicate with each other, you know, like setting some boundaries or standards as far as communication and having that understanding, kind of like, if God scores me every time with his character when I try talking to him, with a little of that love, and tenderness, and being able to communicate that more honestly.
Yep, absolutely. We will, believe it or not, we're still in part one. Part two, we will talk about communication a lot. I know we're not on week one, don't get me wrong. Okay? But we're on part one on this. Okay? That's good. That's very true. Communication is important. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 woman, right? Everybody knows about this lady. Who is that Proverbs 31 woman really about? The church. This is a beautiful picture as to who we as a church are to be. And women, as wives, you imitate this, man, you are shining. You are radiating the character of Christ, and you are making a statement in a world where, well, How's he asked this question? An excellent wife, who can find? You're making a huge statement in that world. But I just want to look at Proverbs 31, verse 23. This chapter from verses 10 through 31 is about the wife. Now listen to this. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I thought about this quite a bit. This is not commending the husband per se. And yeah, he's known. He's respected, isn't he? Why? Because of his wife. Hey, I'll get to you in just a second. I want you to think about this, ladies. What you think about your husband, what you say about to your husband and about your husband has an impact, a huge, the greatest impact other than the Lord and what He says to your husband, about your husband, that has the greatest impact on your husband than anything else. Flat out. Us guys, we look like we're confident and we can act with that backbone sometimes. We act like we don't care and we take stuff and we pretend like what you say either hurts us and tears us down or it makes us feel great and builds us up. This guy, he is known. He's respected among the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He is known. And I will say this in the context, it is because of his wife. Because of who she is, and guess what? Because of what she says to him and about him. I'll just use me for an example. If Julie didn't think I was a great guy, and if she didn't tell people that, let me use the negative side of this for a second. If Julie complained about all the mistakes that I ever make, and that was her focus, and she went out to coffee with some of you ladies in the church, and she ran me down, A little bit. How do you think I would do? What, do you think I would feel that when I walk through the doors of this place? We aren't dumb. Guys aren't dumb. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying here? Your husband's confidence gets built tremendously by what you say to him and about him. Clint.
I was just going to say in Song of Solomon, you always find her running to the gate and asking if they've seen her husband isn't coming home yet and through the streets and so.
Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, I remember, and it is fun as a dad, you know. First time you have kids and it's all new to you, and those kids, you come home from work and they're just peering out the windows and can't wait for dad to get, you know. Ladies, we don't expect you to have your nose pressed up against the window looking for us or anything. But, you know, it's nice for you to be happy to see us. It's nice for you to, when you think we're great, and we know that, and you communicate that to us. Man, all of a sudden the confidence, when God tells us we're great because of who we are in Christ, and you tell us you're great, and you appreciate, all of a sudden, do you think our, let me ask you this, spiritually. Is our performance based on how we see ourselves? Who do you think has the shapes our image? You know, spouses, this goes both ways. I'm just working on the ladies tonight. This goes both ways. There is no person that shapes our image more than our spouse. Now, I'm accepting Christ. I'm not putting him just in the form of person. Okay? So, this is important, gals. David. Amen. And there's a positive guy. I know that for a fact, and that's the truth. Philippians 4:8 is a good one to remember. Hey, you want to find something negative? Man, you don't have to look very far. That's anywhere. Where's your mind going to live? You're a little ahead of me, but that is an excellent, excellent point. Mike.
Just talking about the respect and how it relates to a man. You know, a guy that is recognizing his work, being good about work, if someone makes that compliment towards him, and that's a respectful comment, and it's something he needs. How much more do you think he needs at his own home with that person being more intimate and more open to, for good or bad, than anybody else. And that is really, you know, the point of this is that man, that is a requirement for them to be built up. And I need that for that person to could move them or build them up.
Excellent point, Mike. What Mike was talking about, you know, a guy at work, if he gets commended for the work that he does and, you know, somebody comments positively about that, guys, we I won't just say we like that kind of stuff. We need that kind of stuff, really. We want to know that we're doing a good job and that we're making a difference. If that goes on in that environment, but the opposite effect is taking place at home, the home has a lot bigger effect. Now, there's a lot of management in the workforce today that doesn't understand any sort of godly management skills. And so a lot of management these days is management 001. It's called do this or you're fired. Okay? Oh, you're not doing this, we're going to cut your pay. That's what a lot of guys honestly are going through, particularly in our economy right now at work. That's the truth. Now, if at home, though, what if our wife's building us up and expressing those appreciations? That makes a difference in our ability to keep going, doesn't it? Can I get an amen from you guys?
Amen.
Okay. Yes, Kevin.
I know Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue.
I got that in. Amen.
So you decide what you like, positive or negative, and that's what you're doing.
Amen. And I got that in here somewhere too. Matter of fact, I flash up there, I say, you know, hey, let's choose life, right? Let's give life with our tongue. Our tongue's huge. Life and death. And there. And those who love it eat its fruit. You will eat its fruit, by the way. You will. For good or for bad. So, wise woman. Oh, don't put your husband down in front of your children. Or others. We talked about this last week for the guys. Honor your wife, right? The greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. Guys, if we run our wives down in front of our kids, I said, what are you going to expect them to do? Wives, what about this for us? You know, you might be able to handle your 3-year-old. You might not be able to. You might be able to handle your 3-year-old. Your 5-year-old, your 7-year-old, and your 9-year-old. My guess is, sometime, you're going to need some help from Dad. And not just with your boys. Moms, you and your 15-year-old daughters. You're going to need some help from Dad. Now, don't expect your daughter to have great respect for their dad if you haven't communicated that respect. Don't do it. Don't put them down in front of your children. Really, that's a huge first or others. David. Yep. Really, it's the same. It's the same as true what we were talking about on the other side. You know, and here's the point. And us guys sometimes have a difficult time comprehending this because us guys, we aren't going to go and sit down over coffee and chat for an hour about how our home life is. Hey, we'll give a comment here and there in passing. And we'll kind of encourage and, you know, the joke that, what is it? When a woman says, I have nothing to wear, it means she has nothing new. Okay? And so the other gal's like, oh yeah, let's go shopping. When a man says, I have nothing to wear, the guy next to him says, she's not doing your laundry either, huh? There is a difference there, isn't there? But guys aren't going to, we're not going to talk that way. My best friends in the world that are men, we will talk about real stuff. But it's short periods of time. Women, I know how long some of those coffee sessions can last. And you know what? Women need to share. Personally, I'm thankful that Julie has a friend like Chantel. They can talk to a lot, and I don't have to catch all the details. I'm thankful for that. I would probably get worn out if I was in on all of those same conversations. I would be. I'm thankful she has, you know, that I'm thankful that wives have, what women need to share. So don't misunderstand me here. I'm saying when you share, be careful. Be careful. How are you doing it? What are you communicating? What David was saying earlier, complaining actually reinforces negative thoughts. The mouth is, the tongue is very important in the scriptures, isn't it? The tongue is, it's like, it's the in-between. Remember Mark Miller, mind-mouth motion or something like that. Mind-mouth motion. The tongue's right in the middle. What we think, okay, that's hugely important. But you know, this tongue is a brake. If we thought the wrong thought, we can stop it at the mouth. If we stop it at the mouth, it keeps the motion from taking place. Okay? But if it comes through that mouth, it's accelerated. And that's going to turn into what we do. Any salesman got this figured out. Okay? They don't want to tell you how great all this stuff is. They want to get you to start telling them what you like about this. If they can get you telling them what you like, that's a done deal. What you say reinforces those thoughts for good or for bad. So again, I want to encourage you, nothing wrong with sharing. Please, ladies, please share with each other. But let's go Philippians 4:8, shall we? I'm not saying you don't ever need some help either. But, you know, I really tried to make it a practice of mine that I personally won't give marriage counseling to one person. Because if you're with one person, guess what you get? One side of the story. Okay? So, you know, if you need help, and it's reasonable, sometimes we need help. There's nothing wrong with needing help, guys, by the way. Okay? You know what's wrong is when we don't ask for help when we need it. And then we're in emergency, you know, we're filing for divorce tomorrow if we can't pull this thing out. That's not good. Asking for help early on is much better. But if you do that, get help from spiritual people. And a spiritual woman is going to say, you know, we should get together. My husband, your husband, you and I, let's get together and talk this stuff out. Okay? Submit. This word has all sorts of negative connotations. It has the put the woman under your thumb and you will do because I said so. Guys, that's wrong. We talked about that before. This is not the husband's responsibility to make the wife submit. What God wants is willing submission. Let me ask you this. If God wanted to make us submit, could He? Has He? It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. He don't force us to do anything, so why should we? What are we talking about when we say submission? Respectful in words and tone. Mike already kind of mentioned this. Hey, if we're at work and somebody encourages and says, good job, commends us on something we did, guys feel good, and don't worry about us getting over feeling good. Okay? We need that from our wife. Okay? And in words and tone. Tone's a big one, isn't it? Okay? If I say, nice job, that means a little something different. Great job. It's a huge, basically the same words, but the opposite point being communicated. Supportive. You trust and believe. You know what it is for a guy? Trust. Do you trust me? That's huge to a guy. So when you know, there's a tough decision that's got to be made, and hopefully, particularly as we grow in Christ and we grow in our marriages, most of those tough decisions, hopefully, we're in agreement on. But you know what? Sometimes we're not going to be. When those tough decisions got to be made, according to Scripture, who gets to make that? The husband gets to make it. Now, guys, I mentioned this before. If we're wise, we're going to listen to the input of our wives. That's scriptural. They bring a lot to the table and see a lot of things we don't. But when we've taken all that into consideration and our responsibility to guide this family and we give an account for it spiritually, when we've heard all that and we have a tough decision to make and we got to make that decision, then as wives, we need to be supportive. We need to say, I trust you. That might not be what I would do, but I know. I know you, and I know you have the best interests of our family in mind. I trust you. I'm going to work with you on that. That's, a guy needs that. We need to know that our wife believes in us. Do we trust God? Trust in the Lord, don't we? Where are those provisions going to come from? You know, we ask prayers for our daily bread. And then we trust God. Hey, Mike.
That topic of submission, you know, that's having grown up in a church and come through the, some of the generations there. And I've seen some of the wrong approach by the husbands.
Absolutely.
And I've also seen some of the wrong approach on the wives on this thing. And I really think that, you know, according to scriptures, when you kind of said it, I just want to reiterate it. And it takes both parties having the right attitude there. You have to have the wife needs to be respectful and submissive, and the husband needs to deserve some of that submission too. I mean, if you demand it,
yeah,
you're not deserving of it.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's right for the woman not to be submissive then, but I'm saying that it takes both parties to make this work. Just like on the love side of it for men, too. We talked about this last week, but hey, you know, us guys, we have a responsibility to love our wives. Guess what? Wives, you're going to have to be a little understanding on some of that. That's a touch unnatural for us in
yep.
some ways. You know, I mean, we're mission minded to have a focus, and honestly, rose petals don't enter into the equation most of the time. I mean, you got to take the hill. You got to take the hill.
Right.
And so there's a difference there, and both sides are required understanding and participation on both sides.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, I will say this because some guys take this and they take it. I mean, they're going to use this wrong. You, woman, you do what I tell you to do. You know, that sounds like that management 001, doesn't it? You know what you're going to get? Somebody that cannot wait to quit. Fire me, please, fire me. If that's what you want, then lead that way. Okay? That's just flat-out stupidity. Okay? Which sometimes we can fall into that. But, you know, that's a good point. Okay? That is not an... You know, I will back this up. If you have a husband that is like that, which is possible... Wives, you guys take it to the Lord. You are really, really, really going to have to get strength from the Lord. Okay, it's going to be tough for you. I had somebody ask me last week, you're married to a non-Christian. That's tough, isn't it? If somebody doesn't have any desire to become a Christian, and you're saying as a woman, how do I do this? You know, I got a couple scriptural answers. Number one is heaven's worth it. I don't know how else to say it. We can talk about, my dad says a bad marriage is the closest thing on earth to hell, and I'm going to give him that one. So, hell on earth, let's say. If it is that bad, and I'm not talking about sexual immorality or physical abuse. Okay, there's some scriptural things for some of that. But I'm talking about just a guy that is not a God-fearing man and doesn't handle himself right in any which way. The scripture doesn't say respect him when he's worthy of respect. Okay? Now that's for you women. Okay? I'm with Mike. Anybody that's got their heads screwed on straight is going to say, I want to earn that respect. Because that's real. When you earned it, that's real. But wives, you know, I had a 15-year-old kid living with me one time. And wasn't going so good with his mom. And he'd gone to spend some time with her and came back. Dropped him right back off within an hour. And he wasn't being obedient to his mom. So we had a little chat. And the chat went something like this. Well, you know, mom's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Scripture doesn't say children obey your parents when they're being fair. It doesn't say that. Wives, it doesn't say respect your husband when he's earned it all. You have to respect him anyways. Now, there is a line in the Scripture. And there's a line for all of us. And this is in reference to governmental authorities. Let me ask you this. Are we supposed to be submissive to governmental authorities? Yeah, we are. Submit yourselves, right? For the Lord's sake. We are to be. Is there a line?
Yes.
We must obey God rather than men.
When they're against God, we don't
yes.
want to hear.
Yes.
I won't do it.
With a respectful attitude.
Well.
We say it like this. Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we can't stop speaking what we've seen and heard. That sounds pretty respectful to me, and yet saying no. Okay? Now, gals, there's a line. If your husband's asking you to do something that is directly contradictory to the Scriptures, you have a Lord with a capital L. He is your Lord with a capital L, and you must obey God rather than men. I can't think of a more foolish woman than one who would go to hell because she's being submissive to her husband. You see what I'm saying? There's a line there. Okay? But that doesn't mean that anytime you think your husband's being disobedient to the Word, that you don't have to respect him. 1 Peter chapter 3 says something about that. Okay? What I'm saying is when he commands you to do something different than what the Scripture says, contradictory to that, you have to obey your Lord with a capital L. I personally think of a great example in the Old Testament. Oh, I never got to number 2. Here it is. Anybody remember a gal named Abigail? She's a good woman, wasn't she? Okay. Well, her husband, a worthless fellow. What was it? I always get Naboth and Nabal confused. Nabal. A worthless fellow. And David came trying to get some help. And who are you, basically? And David was getting ready to come in and they're going to clean that place out. Abigail gets word of it and she goes, guys, scripturally speaking, she goes behind her husband's back. Here it is. Now, it's interesting to me. God took Nabal out about 10 days later. Gals, I'm not saying that you should pray for this. Okay? What you pray for is that you can get a good, godly marriage. But let me ask you a question. Could God take a guy out if that's what needs to be done? You better believe he can. I'm not saying it's easy. And I don't think it's easy either way. If a Christian man is living with a woman who is not godly and who... How do I say this nicely? I guess I can't. You know, basically, she's a witch. How do you live with that? You got to go to the Lord, don't you? You got to get strength from the Lord. And it's the same way, both sides. So I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying it's worth it to do what God says. And the best opportunity for producing change in someone else is for you to do the right thing.
Amen.
if there is opportunity, if your spouse has any sort of honesty in their heart, they are going to appreciate when you do the right thing even when they don't. I know some Christian ladies in this congregation that do not have Christian husbands. And I will say this, even if their husbands are jerks, their husbands are thankful that they have a Christian wife. Okay, I don't know what better gospel you could preach than to preach that with your life, do you? Okay. So, ladies, sometimes even us Christian husbands can be disobedient to the Word. Sometimes we can be out of line. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I was a little crabby after the ladies' advance. I'm not proud of it, but I was. You know, that Julie could have been a jerk right back. But that's not what the Scripture says. That's not what she did. Now, what do you think is going to be the quickest way to get old Wilson here to help me get my attitude right? That's Bosco. Chocolate chips are helpful. Okay? But you know what? If you do the right thing, and you treat your husband right, you're like, pretty soon, again, if it's a decent guy, kind of comes around and says, man, sorry I was kind of crabby there. Right? That's kind of... Hey, and this is... It works both ways. But ladies, we got to trust God. Is that true? Is 1 Peter 3 verses 1 and 2, is that true? Can we win him without a word by our chaste and respectful behavior? I believe it because God said it. But experience also bears it out. It's true. All right. Finally, on this part, a willingness to make it work. No sabotage. You know, I've seen ladies do this. There's a decision their husband makes, and they don't think it's right. And sometimes it probably isn't the smartest decision in the world. And then they go to make sure it doesn't work. And then after the fact it didn't work, they say, I knew it. Ladies, that's not respectful. Yeah, I knew it wouldn't work. I told you so. I wrote it down on the calendar. See this? Remember this discussion we had? I warned you. That doesn't going to work, guys. Ladies, it doesn't help us. Guys are going to make some mistakes. You know, anybody ever hear of an armchair quarterback? Quarterbacks make some mistakes, don't they? And you can call them out, but boy, I wonder if you were on the field, if you'd make a few. You know, no sabotage. You got to do your best to make it work. And if it doesn't work, which sometimes it doesn't, but you encourage him and you say, you know what, we can do this. Sometimes guys take risks, big risks. We try a new job and it's a risk. And ladies, the last thing a guy needs is, after he's decided to do this, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this is going to work. You don't want it to work now? And then it crashes. I knew it wasn't going to... Hey, God wired us guys a certain way. We're going to take some risks. And believe it or not, it is usually with the best... the motives are our family's best interests in mind. Some of those don't pan out. But I'll tell you, you would much rather, as a woman, you would much rather live with the guy that gave it, that went for it, and it didn't quite work out, and then you encouraged him through that whole thing, you continue to, and now you move forward from there, you pick up the pieces, and you move forward, and you make something work, than with a guy that's filled with regret that he never got to try something. So I want to encourage you, willing to make it work, no sabotage, and if it doesn't work, say, I still have trust in you. That one, ball didn't bounce our way, next time, this is going to work right. Guys, let me close with this. Ladies, God wants you to do this. He commands you to do this. But understand something. One of the reasons He does is guys have a need. The same way you have a need to be loved, a guy has a need to be respected? Do you care enough about your husband to help meet his need? I think you want him to care enough about you to meet yours. So let's work on this. Let's apply this. All right.